Hello, everybody. This is Nina, and this is the Virtual Weed Walk. This week, I actually want to share a little sense of achievement I had a couple of days back. You know what? I'm giving a presentation about the Edible Weed book and how it is helping science and public science in this conference called Ecological Society of America. It's the largest body of ecologists. And this week, I could actually record my voice with the PowerPoint presentation that will be actually available at the conference between 3 to 6th of August for those who are registered. But you know, it's so funny that apart from beyond the fact that my presentation got accepted and I got a grant of about $200 to register myself, which I didn't have, my sense of achievement for actually recording this voice recording for the PowerPoint was much more than that. I felt so good to make this MP4 and send that to them and get a feedback that it has been uploaded. So when it comes, probably after the 6th, I will try to share this presentation with you all. Somehow we'll figure it out how to do that. I think it'll give a good perspective of science, how this whole activities are placed. So today, if you are actually listening to this podcast and you also have a book, why don't you just take the book out, maybe after the podcast, and get your coloring pencils or watercolor pencils, what have you, and try to actually color some of the plants. Doesn't have to be realistic, doesn't have to be anything. You can actually make patterns for all it matters. But be mindful about it. Notice yourself, how do you feel about coloring? When you get the book out, actually touch the paper. It has a handmade paper cover. Notice that the texture is very different. When you open the book, notice the hand-stitch binding. At the end of the thread, it's carefully twisted around to keep it out of the way. Somebody actually has put that attention to that. I invite you to observe those and honor those attentions that has been already given. Today in the morning, we were shooting a small virtual weed walk at the Solitude Farm. Today, our guest was Risha. She came for a few weed walks, but have been regularly using the book since to learn by herself and with the book. She mentioned that before she came to the weed walk, or the book drew her attention to these green things around, it had no names and nothing unique about them. And then she started noticing how the leaf of one is different from the other, how one grows close to the house, another one in the open field. I remember in one of the weed walks in the Savitri Bhavan, at the end of the weed walk, we were standing in a place which was in between two different land uses in a way, because one side of it was the garden was tended and the other side, just after the rain, there were lots of wild plants growing. And we had just finished our weed walk in that area. And I remember, and I'm sure if you had joined me at that weed walk, you would remember too, that as we stood there looking at this wild area, we found that the green was absolutely glistening in the sun and the entire field was as if moving because there were tiny little yellow and somewhere blue with a black bordered butterflies. These are lesser Lepidoptera, you know, they're really, really those tiny little things. And the whole field seemed like magical. And there it was, all been created because of the wild weeds that were there. And we just got to know a few of them. So I thought, why not try to bring those observations in the podcast? Can we do that? Let's experiment. How about I tell you about a set of plans. If you have the book, you can actually follow the book. When you are actually listening to the podcast again, when it is posted in the website, you can actually see the pictures that I have provided that you can refer to. There are only 6 pictures and they are numbered 1 to 6. And you will know, I'm sure you know many of them already. If I tell the name, you will already remember. But if you don't, you just, you know, either refer to the book and refer to the picture. So if you see the one plant which you find everywhere, it is very close to the Ponnangani. You know, this is one plant that it's very honored and known traditionally in the local area. It's called Alternanthera sessiles. But this one is not that. This particular one, which is the wild cousin of that, and you find it everywhere. In fact, it is hard to find a place where you do not have them. So, but this particular plant is not part, it's not quite known to us. You know, it is called joyweed or slender joyweed. It was not part of our tradition. And yet, it has all the goodness of its cousin, who we know, that is the Ponnangani. If you take a notice of the picture number 1, and you will also find this Alternanthera ficoidea in the book, or it is written as slender joyweed, you will find that the leaf actually has the base of the leaf narrows and almost touches the stem. This shape of the leaf is called spatulate. And you notice that this leaf is spatulate. Now, if you know Ponnangani itself, you know the Ponnangani also have a very similar leaf. So that kind of gives you a clue that they may be related, right? I'll tell you a funny story about this particular slender joyweed. What we found is that at the earliest year, or maybe December last year, there was a planning going on about Vikalp Sangam, who had this conference meeting in Auroville. Sangeeta and I went scouting at the yards, hoping that a combination of wild greens and weeds could be incorporated in the food that would be offered to about 300 participants daily. We concluded at the end of our recce journey that we could feed the entire group with joyweed one day. This is that particular cousin of Ponnangani, and the camelina, which I will talk about maybe in another day. And maybe the other days we can just figure out a combination. So these were that abundant everywhere. Just for a variety, there is still a plenty of joywood would be available anyway, even after we had fed about 300 people. So you can imagine the scale. I want to draw your attention then to the Ponnangani, which is the number 2. You're already familiar with it. And you have already noticed the leaf of Ponnangani is very similar or spatulate. I'm deliberately using this term because then you will get familiar with this term. This leaf is spatulate, which means the base of the leaf tapers and joins the stalk. And it is very much looking like its cousin. Then it comes to the third one in the picture, and you will also find it in the book. It's called the Brazilian joywood. It looks quite different. The colors are quite deep, almost maroonish, and I'm sure that you have found them in the garden and the yards of people here. It's quite common. And then it, of course, grows wild around also. The difference is the flower in Ponnangani and its wild cousin, the flower sits at the base, close to the stalk. But in this Brazilian joywood, it shoots up, and on the top of this little stalk, there is a white flower. So that flower gives it away that it is quite different from the others. So when I actually, in my YouTube and Insta, I regularly post about one particular weed from the book. And when I posted about this Brazilian joywood, some people started calling it Sigapu or Red Punnangani. I'm sure that those of you are familiar with the local greens, you know which one it is. But really, is it that? Let's find out. Why you want to call it Sigapu? Is it really Sigapu? The true similarity between Sigapu and the Brazilian joyweed, which you find in the book, is that it's red in color. But notice in the photo 4 that I have provided, which is the actual Sigapu, which is a variety of Punnangani, which is also Punnangani is in the book, you notice that the flowers are close to the stalk, like its greener cousins, and do not shoot up like the Brazilian joywood. So could they be the same? Of course, they are not. So while you're observing, try to observe not just the color, but the shape, texture, inflorescence, that is how the flower looks. By drawing attention to these details, you will also find that you are recognizing these plants, that some are close, some you will guess that they may be close to each other, they may be related, and some are quite different. Two plants that comes quite often to our grocery shelves. They are spinach substitute and locally called araikire, and the other one, a reddish variety of the same, it's called sirukire. So those who for you know the plant, you can remember. Otherwise, you can see the photo which I have provided. The sirukire is red. But is it looking like a Brazilian joywood or even the red Punnangani? No. The leaf shape, notice, it is a diamond shape. It looks thinner. It has fewer fine hairs on them. And the leaf tip, you notice, it's a little blunt. It so happens that they are related to Punnangani, belongs to the same family, but they are not immediate relatives. It's like another line within the same family. Remember araikire, which you can find in the photo number 6, it looks exactly like the sirukire, except that it is green. And yes, these two are very closely related. So how do we find this out? Why do we pay attention to these? Why do we even need to know about this? Because much of our, not only our nutrition, our tradition, our culture, our learning comes from these wild and those which have come down to us from generations. According to the Convention of Biodiversity, there is a paper which says that in 2044, in India, 50% of the population will live in urban areas. Can you imagine? In Tamil Nadu, the 2011 census says already the 50% of the population lives in urban areas, which means Tamil Nadu will become almost 90% urban by the time the rest of India is becoming 50% urbanized. So it is moving faster here. If we do not observe and keep the bounty around, much of our traditional knowledge will be lost simply because these plants will be lost. And along with that will be lost the knowledge and the culture that grew and developed around it. So let us learn about this new, let us remember the old ones, reclaim the traditional use of the wild greens, learn about the new ones, and let us teach our children that it is important and how they will provide them the security and a wonderful feeling to have this nature around them. So get to learn, get your coloring book, color some, learn some, and while you walk outside, notice how you learn to recognize one from the other. How they are unique. Some like shades, some like light. Some are okay growing throughout the year, but maybe, you know, they shrink and, you know, their little tiny little leaves exist. But then once it rains, they just shoot up and flourish. You do not have to eat if you do not want. Just observe. And then when you're comfortable, forage some and incorporate these in the ultra organic green in your diet. If you are somebody who knows these traditional greens and can incorporate in your diet, great. If you want other ways to cook them or to try them out, there are plenty of Facebook pages in Auroville. There is the Roots group, there is Edible Wheat Walk group, and there are other groups where you will find these exchanges of amazing recipes that is going on. And if you do not know about them at all, try out, read about them in the YouTube channel, in the Facebook, see our virtual weed walk in the YouTube channel, and start somewhere. Paint a picture and try out. Enjoy.